Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Watch and see me. I have heard the cries, and I have heard your prayers, and I have seen your fastings for well over a year, and I see your weeping, and I see your persecution, and I see your hunger for me. Like an expectant mommy, get ready, you're in your last months. Like an expectant mother, you're in your last months. The birth pains have started all in the earth today. Make way for salvation. My glory, I will rescue you. Watch and wait and see.
Salvation comes from you. All salvation comes. I will witness to my brothers, I will serve, 'cause all salvation comes through you. And I will tell the story that all salvation comes to you. You are the Lord, our only Savior, the only one, the only one that can save. So bring out the blind, bring out the deaf, and gather the nations together. 'Cause who could have seen this? Who would have known that you alone can save? They were all told through your prophets. We were all told to expect you. We were all told, but we had hard hearts. So I pray for your softening rain, soft, gentle rain on tender plants, so that this vine may grow true. This vine may grow true on its one and only Savior. The one and only Savior.
Everyone stand for the motto, please. Okay. Motto. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your habitations, O Israel. As for me, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. I will worship towards your holy temple in awe of you. O Lord, I love to be in your presence, in the place where your glory dwells. As for me, I will worship you in humility. I will bend my knee before you, O Lord, my Maker. I offer my prayer to you, O Lord, at a time of grace. O God, in the abundance of your loving kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Le'olam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. V'shinantam levenecha v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lachtecha ba'derech. Uvshach becha uvkumecha, ukshartam leot al yadecha, vahayu letotafot bein anecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot betecha uvishrecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet bands between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. Udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed is he who gave the Torah to his people Israel in his holiness. Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorach. Bless the Lord who is to be blessed. Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed is the Lord who is to be blessed forever and ever. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from among all peoples and has given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. You may be seated.
Shabbat shalom. I believe it's my turn here to do the Torah reading. We're coming to the end of the yearly course of readings. Okay, today's Torah reading is Deuteronomy 29:9-36. The Haftarah reading is Isaiah 61:10-63:9, and the Brit Hadashah reading is Yochanan, or John 12:41-50. The Torah reading for today is called Nitzarim, which means standing. And I'm going to start with reading at Deuteronomy 29:9 and go on to 20. So today you are standing. If you notice it, what it's called is always in that first sentence. Today you are standing, all of you, before Adonai, your God. Your heads, your tribes, your leaders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, along with your little ones, your wives, and your foreigners here with you in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water. The purpose is that you should enter into the covenant of Adonai your God and into his oath, which Adonai your God is making with you today. It's kind of interesting because they're at the end of the 40 years and God's making the oath and the covenant now. Because the first ones that left Egypt didn't have the faith really to enter into the covenant. Okay, so his oath, which Adonai your God is making with you today, so that he can establish you today for himself as a people, and so that for you he will be God, as he said to you and as he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But I'm not making this covenant and this oath only with you. Rather, I am making it both with him who is standing here with us today before Adonai, our God, and also with him who is not here with us today. In other words, he's looking into the future. All the years of the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and even with Yeshua, that the people that became grafted into Israel, way back at the time of Moshe, at the time that they were moving into the land, God raised up the notion that this covenant will go through generations and it'll attach itself to peoples that were not Jewish people but had grafted themselves in with the Jewish people. Because God is not a respecter of persons. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came directly through the nations you passed through, and you saw their detestable things and their idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold that they had with them. So let there not be among you a man, woman, family, or tribe whose heart turns away today from Adonai your God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Let there not be among you a root bearing such bitter poison and wormwood. If there is such a person, when he hears the words of this curse, he will bless himself secretly, saying to himself, I will be all right, even though I will stubbornly keep doing whatever I feel like doing, so that I, though dry, will be added to the watered. But Adonai will not forgive him. Rather, the anger and jealousy of Adonai will blaze up against that person. Every curse written in this book will be upon him. Adonai will blot out his name from under heaven. Adonai will single him out from all the tribes of Israel to experience what is bad in all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the Torah. Which, this is kind of an interesting thing, because we see it as he's looking at the heart, what the true intentions of the person is. And even today, you see people who call themselves believers or Christians or whatever term you want to use, and yet you can tell their hearts are not in it. And God says that such people will be judged because they're not true to what God is showing them. It's one thing we have to be clear on when we talk to others, is that, it's about Yeshua, it's about the Lord. It's not about, making it look good that we, that we're doing well, but we actually are following him.
That's good.
And then he kind of goes into with the land and so forth, and when they move into the land and so forth. But it would find this interesting. If you go to verse 28 of Deuteronomy 29, it says this: things which are hidden belong to Adonai our God, but the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children forever, so that we can observe all the words of this Torah. Already he's starting to reveal mysteries. A lot of people would read this and it sounds more of the New Covenant verbiage or New Covenant language, But even back in, he's starting to reveal what his purposes are. Because if you look at Torah, Rav Shaul de Paspal said, if you search Torah all the way through, what it will lead you to is to Yeshua and a need for a savior, of a Messiah. And that's kind of what it's starting to allude to here. And then I'm going to kind of flip through a little bit here because there's a part here I wanted to get to. And he's talking about paying attention to the Torah and the mitzvot and so forth. You know, if you turn to God, Adonai, your God, with all your heart and all your being, you know, for this mitzvah, which I am giving you today, is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky that you need to ask, who will go up into the sky for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it. Likewise, it isn't beyond the sea that you need to ask, who will cross the sea for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it. On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. And with the very close in the actually Hebrew is kikavod, which means to draw near, to draw close, which is a topic that Yaakov or James brought up. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. You do that through His Word as one of the ways, and you meditate on Him, and He will draw near to you. The Father just has this aching to draw near, to be close in that, and to just search your heart and to rejoice in you. In a way that people just don't seem to grasp. They read the words of the book and that, and it just, it's right over their heads exactly what this is saying, which is one of the reasons why I like the fact that they have now translations where they had Jewish scholars go back and translate what the words, closer to what the words actually meant within the concept of the culture and that, because the whole Torah is basically God. You know, like the tone of it is that of a father, a loving father, teaching his beloved son how to live life.
That's right.
Okay, and then I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants. Loving Adonai, your God, paying attention to what he says and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you can live in the land Adonai swore he would give to you or give to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And if you look at the theme of this, and if you actually go into the Haftarah reading in Isaiah and then the Brit Hadashah reading with the Yochanan, John, where Yeshua is speaking, it's the same theme. It has to do with a life, restoration, choosing the right path in life. I think this is a message that we really need to go out to society, choosing the right path, following the path that the Lord has set. If you follow the path that the Lord gave to you, you will succeed. If you follow other paths, you won't. But that's what has to do with choosing life. So. And that's the Torah reading.
Please stand. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu Torah emet vechaye olam nata betocheinu. Baruch ata Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and has thereby planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, giver of the Torah. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord, for providing all our need according to your riches and glory.
Okay, well, it's prayer time here. Just wanted to remind everybody that our Rosh Hashanah service will be Monday evening at 7. It's not going to be a long service. I'm looking for about an hour of service, and then after that we'll have apples and honey, and I'll have some other treats that I think we'll try to see if we can set up over in the fellowship hall for that. So this is time we want to lift up to, before the Lord the concerns we have with the congregation, and I don't know if you want to.
Carol and Marlon, if you can join with us.
So, but we want to lift up the community, the congregation, the community, and just the nation, and other parts of the world that seem to need a lot of prayer, especially in the area of Afghanistan. My heart goes out for the people that are left behind there that that are not of that mentality, the jihadist mentality, but just want to simply live their lives. And especially a lot of the young women who now will be forced into marriages that they have no interest in. Anyways, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of Sabbath, this Shabbat. We thank you for the very concept of Shabbat. Yes. In the ancient world, that most societies did not even have a concept of Shabbat, but you gave it to your people as a blessing upon them.
Yes.
And because of that, they were able to go forth and be a light into the world. Lord, we just ask that you pour your blessings upon this congregation. More than anything else, we just want to your presence to be in this congregation. We want people to feel your presence here, to have an encounter with you every time they come here, an encounter that's still striking to them that they have to go and tell others about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just let your presence be felt in this place. Yes. And make that encounter upon them be a healing encounter, whether it be physically or spiritually or mentally or in any manner. Let it just heal and bind wounds and lift up spirits and let it just flow through them, Lord. Let our just attitude in this place be one of love, reflecting your love in this place. Let this place be felt as a family, that we all look out for each other and all have concerns for each other. We just ask you just make this place have that that feel, that all who enter this place senses that family's spirit as well as your presence. And Lord, we ask that you reach out to the people in the community that are searching for you, that are hurting, and draw them into this place. Let them find this place to be a light, a refreshing to the soul, and let them come to know you in this place. We just believe that that's the purpose that you raised up this congregation here, is to give you honor and glory and praise and to draw others to you.
Hallelujah.
And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing here. We just ask you to be with the members that are not, of the congregation that are not here. We just ask you to protect and watch over them, and you pour your blessings upon them. And we thank you for that, in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Abba, Father, we praise you and bless you and honor you. Thank you for your mercies towards us, which are new every morning. God, I thank you that you're beginning a work in the state of Texas where they, Lord, are restoring laws against abortion. Yes. And we pray, oh God, that that would be established and would sweep the nation, oh God, that abortion would be kicked out of America, oh God. Yes. Lord, that you would spare the lives of the unborn. God, this is miraculous, and this is an answer to prayer, and we just ask you to keep pouring out your spirit in such a way that the devil cannot stop it, and that the efforts of these very dedicated but mistaken people come to nothing, Father. We just call forth the life of the unborn, Father, and pray that you'd protect it and guard it and keep it in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty. Praise your holy name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Amma. Thank you, Abba. Thank you for everything that you have done into our lives, Lord God. Abba, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, our coming Messiah, Father, I come unto your throne, Lord God. I live up to you, Lord God. Israel, Lord God. Lord, thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you for your protection, special protection that you are given to all of the people in Israel. Thank you, Lord God, for scattering all your billions of angels to be there, Lord God, and to help them out whatever needs that they needed, Lord God. Thank you for the rescue. Thank you for intervening, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the intervention. Thank you for helping the people over there to come unto you, Lord God, as your Lord and personal Savior, those who doesn't know you yet, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Abba. Thank you. You are worthy to be praised, mighty God. There's no one like you, Lord. Thank you for being a victorious God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Abba. Thank you for the rescue, Lord God. And I lift up to you, Father, Lord God, our nation, Lord God, from the top position to the bottom, Lord God. Lord, you know what's going on in our country, Lord God, in the government, Lord God. Father, I pray that you continue to take over, Lord God, in the whole thing, Lord God, that you will never miss anything about it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for continuing fighting for us, fighting for this nation, Lord God. Thank you that righteousness will prevail, Lord God, that the truth will prevail. Thank you for taking over in the social media, Lord God. Thank you for closing the ears of the people in this nation and around the world about the lies in Yeshua's name. Let the truth will prevail, Lord God. Let the truth will be heard only by this nation and around the world, Lord God, that only the truth will come out, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. And whatever, Lord God, the agenda of this vaccine things, Lord God, you know there's a lot of people struggling, suffering, nowadays, Lord God, the nurses in California, Lord God, who's standing them about it, Lord God. Father, I pray that you put a special protection upon them, Lord God. You know that we need nurses, Lord God. We need workers, Lord God, in the hospital, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you please take over in their situation, Lord God. Father, thank you for giving them to enjoy the freedom of choice, Lord God. Then they say, Adabashan, Dedekadashan, Dadabayase, then Dedebayasokuros, Shandada Lassander, and Dedebayasundi Rabayasiki, Hishanda Levie, and they say, Adabashan, Dedekarashanda, and they were so Kurushan, Dedebayasi, Esi, Harashan, Dedekanda. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you for taking over in California, Lord God. Thank you for taking over in your people, Lord God. And I speak life to each every one of them, Lord God, and all those who are sick right now in Yeshua's name. Lord, I claim that your fire from heaven will come unto this nation, Lord God, and burn all the viruses on the air and viruses in every places in this nation and around the world that the people are struggling, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. Father, thank you for stopping, Lord God, and destroying all these viruses, Lord God, that trying to destroy your people, Lord God. And I speak life to each every one of them who are sick right now in Yeshua's name, that they will live and they will not die. They will live and they will not die. They will live and they will not die in Yeshua's name. Father, thank you for taking over in every hospital, Lord God. Thank you for taking over in all those workers, Lord God. Thank you for protecting all of them, Lord God, the doctors, the nurses and everyone over there, Lord God, and thank you for giving them a freedom of choice, Lord God, and for standing for the truth, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. Father, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Abba. Thank you, Lord, for everything, and thank you for taking over also in the border, Lord God. Lord, you're the only one who can close that borders. And Father, we pray that you send your billions of angels, Lord God, to Help us out to close this border, Lord God. If man can't do it, Lord, we trust you and now we believe you can do it for us, Lord. Because you said all things are possible to you, that whatever is impossible to man is possible to you. And thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Lord God. And you said, ask anything and you will do it. That your word will not come back void, but it's always do what it declares we will do. And Father, thank you for that promises. Thank you of what you said. You will do it, Lord God. And Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for these people who came here illegally. Father, thank you for taking over in their lives, Lord God. Thank you for taking them to the right faith of life. Thank you for Lord, you know their heart better than we do. You know why they did that. Lord, whatever wrong intention, Lord, you know them. I pray that you intervene, Lord God, and whatever those wrong intention, Lord God, will replace it to a good intention in Yeshua's name and be a blessing into this nation instead. And Father, thank you for doing that, Lord God. Thank you for taking over in all the places that are in shortage of workers. Shortage of everything. Lord, I pray that you fill those blank. I pray that you take over on the people in this nation, Lord God, to come out in the house, Lord God, and works. Lord God, let them realize, Lord God, that they have a part. They have a part to do, Lord God. And please give them a heart like yours and the fear on you, Lord God, to do what is right, especially those who said that they know you and they have relationship to you, but they are dependent on the government. Lord, let them realize it's not right. It's not good, because it is also said in your words, if you don't work, don't eat. Father, I pray that just take over in this your people, Lord God. Give them, help them to be strong physically, emotionally, and mentally, and get out in their house and be willing and love to work. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord God. Thank you for keeping everybody safe in the workplace, Lord God. Thank you for taking away the fear about this coronavirus and other viruses and other things, Lord God. I pray that you give them strength and joy and peace that surpass understanding, that you're the only one who could give it to them, Lord God, to stay strong and fight a good fight of faith and get out in the house and work. And Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for putting a special protection to all of people who are coming here. Thank you for continuing providing for all of us, Lord God, in everything that we needed, Lord God. And those who need healing, Lord God. Lord, I pray and I speak healing to each every one of them to be healed in Yeshua's name. Because you said that through the stripe of Yeshua, we are all healed. And I claim that healing to each everyone who are sick, Lord God, right now, who is here and in their house and whatever, wherever they are, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. Thank you for the healing touch that you are giving to them and to Alberta and Rabbi Ed. Thank you for helping them out, Lord God, to continue fighting a good fight of faith and to stay strong and to be always healthy, Lord God, more than ever before. Thank you for putting a special protection into their lives, Lord God, and those people who are here volunteering and everything, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our best provider and best protector and everything. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything. We glorify you and we give you all the glory and praise in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And real quick, Lord, I just ask you to intervene in the situation in Afghanistan. You know what's going on there. We just ask that you pour a revival upon that people, that the results are inexplicable, that the hearts of people are turned towards you and the people begin to follow after you and reject the lie that they believed all their life. Lord, just make that happen and make that nation become one that is alive for you. People say that's impossible, but nothing is impossible with you. We just pray for that in Yeshua's name.
Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Time for the message. Holy God, we humble ourselves before you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua. We turn from our sins, known and unknown, committed and omitted, and ask that you'd wash us in your blood, cleanse us, and empower us with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher, our guide into all truth. And Lord, we just thank you for the miracle and the blessing of having your holy word in our hands. Oh God, let us hear the word. Let your spirit bring it to life and write it upon the tablets of our heart so that we might walk in your ways, honor and please you, and bless those that our life will touch. B'shem Yeshua Meshichenu, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. And all God's people said, Amen. Before the throne of God. Hallelujah. We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Taking as an outline on the book, chapter 4 begins the third section, the things which shall take place after this. The things which shall take place after this. The phrase after this, metatauta in ancient Greek, found in Revelation 1:19, is repeated twice in Revelation 4:1. Chapter 4 begins a heavenly perspective, looking down on earth. The Bible has other important references to heaven in passages such as Isaiah 6:1-8 and Ezekiel chapter 1. And in passages describing the tabernacle, which symbolically describes heaven, Exodus 25-32 and 35-40. In the description of heavenly things, John uses symbols. However, not everything is symbolic. As in the parables of Yeshua, many of the details are merely descriptive, and they are not necessarily intended to carry a special significance of their own. Also, we should bear in mind the nature of symbolism. The symbol is always less than the reality it portrays. For example, the reality of heaven is far greater than the biblical description that we have of it. There is very little that we know of our future state compared to its full reality. But we may be quite sure that we know as much as is good for us. We ought to be content with that which is not revealed as with that which is. If God wills us not to know, we ought to be satisfied not to know. You can depend on it. He has told us all about heaven that is necessary to bring us there. And if he had revealed more, it would have served rather for the gratification of our curiosity than the increase of our grace. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. From these verses, we have a section mainly concerned with God's judgment upon the world preceding Yeshua's earthly reign, the period known as the Messianic Woes or the Great Tribulation. God's judgments are announced by, number one, a seven-sealed scroll. Number two, seven trumpets. Three, seven signs. Four, seven bowls that pour out God's wrath. It might make you wonder if God came up with the idea for 7-Eleven stores. Seven is one of God's go-to numbers. Revelation 4 introduces us to the place where judgment comes from, God's throne in heaven. John is called up to heaven. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, come up hither, and I will show you things which must take place after this. After these things, Revelation chapters 2 and 3 spoke to the congregations And the seven congregations represent all congregations throughout ecclesiastical history. After Yeshua was finished speaking to the congregations, Yohanan, John the Immerser, experienced the vision of Revelation 4. The first voice that spoke to John in Revelation 1:10 spoke to him again here, the voice of Messiah Yeshua. Jesus called John up through a door that was standing open in heaven. That'd be cool. Like a trumpet, the voice spoke loud and clear to John. It was like the trumpet that gathered the congregation of Israel together or called their army together for battle. Come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. John will be shown things that concern our future, not his present day. Some like to interpret what John saw up through Revelation 19 as fulfilled in what took place before John's day, notably in the Roman invasion and destruction of Jerusalem. Yeshua clearly told Yohanan that he would show him things which must take place after this. Some like to interpret what John saw up through Revelation 19 as fulfilled in history after Yohanan's day, but before our present day. But these events have yet to be fulfilled in any sort of fully literal sense. They can only be said to have been fulfilled by making them utterly and wildly symbolic, which I'm sure we've all heard some interpretations of Revelation that leave much to be desired. Therefore, we regard what Yeshua will show John in the following chapters of Revelation as belonging to the future and as preceding the coming reign of Messiah on this late great planet Earth. Like a trumpet, come up here. Some commentators see John's going up to heaven as a symbol of the rapture of the church. Time will tell, eh? John was called up to heaven by a voice that sounds like a trumpet, just as the bride of Messiah was described in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So will we ever be with the Lord. Oh, excellent words. The pattern is significant. Yeshua finished speaking to and dealing with the congregations in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and all the congregations through time are represented in the seven. Now, after dealing with the believers, Yeshua calls John up to heaven, catching him away with a voice that sounds like a trumpet. All this happened before the great wrath that will be described beginning at Revelation 6. As that great judgment on the earth unfolded, John, a representative of the bride of Messiah, was in heaven looking down on the earth, hopefully informing us of where we'll be viewing the tribulation from. Lord, have mercy. Significantly, the word ecclesia, or church, which means called out ones, never occurs in the chapters describing this period of judgment on earth. Nowhere to be found in Revelations chapter 4 through 19. So that's an interesting side note, that if we were here on earth, why are we not mentioned at all? John goes up to heaven in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. John already said he was in the Spirit at Revelation 1:10. This was yet a different experience. as John came to heaven, gaining a necessary heavenly perspective. In the spirit, where was his body? Was John's body in heaven also? Or was it just his spirit? This is really impossible to know. Paul, when he had his heavenly experience, didn't know if he was in the body or not. We can find that in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Messiah who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is even permitted to tell anyone. I find it sort of curious that he was not allowed to share anything of his heavenly experience, but today we have people who go to heaven and they share about going to heaven like they go to Walmart. You know, it's just a matter of fact. Now, I'm not saying they're not telling the truth. It's just an interesting comparison. Yohanan's description of heaven. The point of focus is the throne of God, which is set in heaven. And behold, the throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This throne was the first. This throne was what first impressed John, and it is the centerpiece of his vision. John was fixated on the occupied throne and the one who occupied it, and everything else is described in relation to this throne and its occupant. The bottom line of atheism or materialism is that there is no throne. There is no seat of authority or power that the entire universe must answer to. The bottom line of humanism is that the only throne that is acknowledged is the one that a man that they have placed there sits there upon. Essentially, man cannot live without the concept of a throne and a supreme ruler. So if man dethrones God, he will of necessity place himself or someone else upon the throne. Perhaps a political leader, as was the case with dictators like Lenin, Stalin, and Mao. I remember back in the 50s, they wrote a song about Mao. Papa oo Mao Mao, Papa oo Mao Mao. And one sat on the throne. The throne is not empty. There is someone who sits on this great heavenly throne. The throne is a powerful declaration of not merely God's presence, but of his sovereign, rightful reign and his eternal prerogative to judge all mankind. We can't think rightly about anything until we settle it in our mind that there is an occupied throne in heaven and our Creator, the God of the Bible, rules from that throne. While there may be many differing interpretations, the fundamental truth is self-evident. At the center of everything is an occupied throne, and our Creator is its eternal occupant. What John saw at the heavenly throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in appearance like an emerald. As John described the occupant of the throne, he did not describe a distinct figure. There is here no description of the divine being so as to point out any similitude, shape, or dimensions. The description rather aims to point out the surrounding glory and effulgence of the person and presence of the Almighty King of Glory. Like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, instead of describing a specific form or figure, John described emanations of glistening light in two colors, white, jasper may mean diamond, and red, sardius, Perhaps these two colors are meant to communicate the glory of the empty tomb, the resurrection with white robes, and the sacrificial love of Calvary, red, indicating Yeshua's shed blood. Or perhaps they are linked with the first and last gems in the high priest's breastplate, found in Exodus 39, verses 8 through 13. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. The throne was surrounded by a green-hued rainbow in appearance like an emerald. The rainbow is a reminder of God's commitment to keep his covenant with man, Genesis 9, verses 11 through 17. Around the setting of all sovereignty, power, authority, and glory, the setting of the throne of God, God has a reminder of his promise to never destroy the earth again with water, a promise that directs and guides his sovereignty, so it is not capricious or working against his eternal promises. A throne says, I can do whatever I want because I rule. But a promise says, I will fulfill this word to you, and I cannot do otherwise. A rainbow around the throne is a remarkable thing, showing that God will always limit himself by his own promises. He is the original promise keeper. A quote on the rainbow. Signum gratiae et fideris means a sign of grace and the covenant of mercy, which is always fresh and green about Messiah's throne of grace. The believer glories in the sovereignty of God because they know that God's sovereignty is on their side. God's sovereignty is on your side. It means that no good purpose of God relating to the believer will ever be left undone, unfulfilled, uncompleted. O child of God, your heavenly Father in his sovereignty has a right to do with you, his child, as he pleases. But he will never let that sovereignty get beyond the limit of his covenant. A sovereign might cast you away, but he has promised that he never will and will never leave you or forsake you. A sovereign might leave you to perish, but he will be with you always, even to the end of this age. As a sovereign, he might suffer you to be tempted beyond your strength, but he has promised that no temptation shall take you, but such as is common to man. And he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Charles Spurgeon. What John saw around the throne, the 24 elders. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Before the elders caught John's eye, he noticed the 24 thrones they sat on. These 24 elders sat on lesser thrones around the throne of God. Later, John will mention their song of worship, Revelation 4, verses 10 through 11. On the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. Who are these 24 elders? Commentators debate whether they are glorified human beings or angelic beings. Taking all things into consideration, the elders seem to represent God's people. Elders represent the people of God, especially in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. The 24 courses of the priesthood are represented by all the priests, 1 Chronicles 24, and the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, which equal 24, represent all the faithful throughout all time and eternity. In Revelation 5, 9 through 10, the 24 elders sang a song of praise to Yeshua, and they cried out, "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." In that passage, the 24 elders clearly spoke as representatives of all God's people of the great company of the redeemed. Clothed in white robes, they had crowns of gold upon their heads. The white robes and crowns of the elders seem to indicate that they are indeed human beings, but in the glory of heaven, of course. Hallelujah. May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Revelation. Thank you for these insights into heaven, seeing behind the scenes what is going on while we serve you here on earth. Thank you, God, you are in control. Heaven may seem far away, but in the Spirit, in your world, in your kingdom, in your realm, it's just a breath away, just a word away, just a heartbeat away. Father, thank you that there is no time nor distance in the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, we open our hearts to you, to your Holy Spirit, to the Lord Yeshua, and we surrender, and we yield, and we say, "Come, Lord Yeshua, take your place. Sit on the throne of our hearts. Rule and reign in our lives. Lead us into righteousness for your name's sake, O God." Oh, God, may your kingdom come and your will be done here in us as it is in heaven. And we ask this in the holy, awesome, gracious, glorious name of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen.